Dodge 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The Alabama Supreme Court ruling that frozen human embryos are the legal equivalent of children, spurring action in that state.
Two bills are now being introduced in the Alabama State House, one that would protect in vitro fertilization and another that would put the court's ruling on hold. The list of clinics postponing treatment for IVF continues to grow.
ABC's Perry Russum, about half of the IVF clinics in Alabama have suspended the procedure. Intuitive Machines will talk more later today about its robot Odysseus spacecraft landing on the moon last night. It's the first time since Apollo 17 in 1972 that the U.S. has put anything on the moon. Not a cyber attack, no ransomware. AT&T says a software update gone wrong was the cause of Thursday's nationwide cell service outage. On the East Coast alone, more than 70,000 outages were reported. AT&T has since restored service nationwide. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The leader of the Forest County Potawatomi is calling on Wisconsin lawmakers and other state leaders to find bipartisan solutions to problems like human trafficking and affordable housing. James Crawford gave Thursday's annual State of the Tribe speech. He also thanked lawmakers for working to increase Medicaid reimbursements for tribes and legislation to boost affordable housing. Wisconsin farmers boosted conservation efforts between 2017 and 2022. That's according to the latest USDA agriculture census.
In so many ways, it is about access to programs within USDA or information, making sure that we can use all of those avenues to drive adoption in the way that we know there is demand for.
Mike Lavenders with the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Baseball gets started tomorrow. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Brewers' first exhibition game of spring training out in Arizona tomorrow against the Padres. The first pitch at 2:10 Central Time. There's been talk that Sal Frelick will play some third base this spring. When will that happen? Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
First day. He's special, man. The kid's special. He can do it. That people ask me, why is he doing it? Because he can. If anybody can do it, it's Sal.
NBA, the Bucks and the Timberwolves tonight in Minnesota. Milwaukee will be without Chris Middleton, still dealing with an ankle injury. NFL, Packers Matt LaFleur introducing Jeff Hafley as the team's new defensive coordinator.
Certainly have always had respect for him from afar as a football coach. He's worked with my brother at two different stops. He's worked with Kyle Shanahan at two different stops in Cleveland and San Francisco. And I know how those guys, how much respect they have for him as a person first and a coach second.
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
The Todd Almost Show.
Green Bay is a fine town, but I'm just telling you, you're better off to take a horse. Don't drive in Green Bay, and for God's sake, don't get a parking ticket. So how about this? We find out how much revenue does Green Bay get from parking tickets, and we say that the Packers are going to donate that, and we're going to have free parking in Green Bay. How about that? Todd for mayor of Green Bay.
The Todd Almost Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Almost. Friday noon to 3, we have Brady Ewing on talking sports and also more live from Hayward at the Birkenbeiner right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A few flurries or snow showers this morning, then gradually becoming mostly sunny, and it will be quite a bit colder today. Our high 27 with wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Clear tonight, low of 8 above. Tomorrow, sunny 39 by Sunday, sunshine 43. We're talking 50s by Monday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Matt Nair on air.
Want to thank our previous guest, Bob Bonadour from the Milwaukee Planetarium. He's so knowledgeable and obviously loves what he does.
Yeah, because he gets to talk about space all the time. I'm not kidding you. I have watched videos about space and have started to cry. It's so flippin' beautiful to me.
Well, we found your birds.
Yes.
We have found your birds.
Space is my bird.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Allball. Friday, noon to 3, we have Brady Ewing on talking sports and also more live from Hayward at the Birkenbeiner right here on the Civic Media Ready Network.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.com.
On the job till the cows come home. This is the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Well, greetings on a finally Friday morning. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke reminding you we've got changing weather that you're going to have to be ready for today. Nothing real dramatic, at least I'm not noticing it right now. We do have a pretty good chance that we're going to see precipitation today. Chances are it's going to be rain, but then again, kind of depends where you are. Partly cloudy skies all morning long, 42 our expected high today. Tomorrow, a chilly 39 before we bounce back up to 53 degrees on Sunday. Monday, 60 degrees. Tuesday, 62. We'll be talking weather with Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, on the way. What else do I have for you on a finally Friday morning? Well, Stephanie Hoff is going to step in and give us some details on auctioneering. It's that time of the year. A lot of folks involved in agriculture and rural communities, we get together for an auction. At least we used to. Now, auctions are largely held online, but the skill of an auctioneer, still critically important. Stephanie Hoff's going to introduce us to one of those auctioneers this morning. We've got a lot of babies being born on the farm these days. Lambs, goats, everything's having babies. But I'll tell you what, for a lot of farms that have babies born outside, they've got to watch out for predators. Could be anything from stray dogs to wolf in Wisconsin. Charity Seebecker has talked with a DNR biologist that's monitoring the wolf population and shares some of the details he's got to deal with at this time of the year out in the countryside. So plenty of ground to cover, and I hope you'll stick around. This morning, I want to transition right into our first story, which is all about Wisconsin, Lent, and our Friday night fish fry. Did you know that it's estimated in the state of Wisconsin, 84% of us Wisconsinites enjoy a fish fry at least a couple times a year. 42% of Wisconsinites say they go to a fish fry about once a month. And obviously those numbers go up when it's Lent. I talked about the fish population in Wisconsin, specifically the yellow perch. Yellow perch, a staple for a lot of Friday night fish fries going back decades. Tammy Paola, I can tell you all about it. She's a DNR fish biologist up in northeast Wisconsin, Marinette County, Peshtigo, to be exact, just north of my home farm. And she tells me a little bit about Wisconsin's fascination and fixation with yellow perch on a Friday night fish fry.
So yellow perch have a history going back for decades where for Friday night fish fries, this was the prime fish that people were interested in eating. And Green Bay is unique in that it supports the last remaining state-licensed commercial fishery for yellow perch in Lake Michigan. There is some tribal harvest that occurs in the northern part of the lake on the Michigan side. But Green Bay itself is the last state-run commercial fishery for yellow perch. And this is because we support a population of yellow perch where we have plenty of perch to go around for both the commercial industry and for sport anglers in Green Bay.
It wasn't always the case, though. Didn't we used to have a pretty big population of perch?
We did. So those of you who have been around and can remember the 1980s and even into the early part of the 1990s, there was a huge population of yellow perch in Green Bay, and even Lake Michigan was doing well at that time. But during that time, there's been a lot of invasive species that have come into play. These are just during my lifetime, of course, in the last four or so decades. And that's really changed our ecosystem. So our perch population is still present and holding strong, but it's not quite at the high levels that it was in the 1980s.
What does the Wisconsin DNR try to do to, I don't know, encourage the yellow perch population, or is it more about managing use?
Well, really managing use is what we can do. So we spend a lot of time collecting a lot of data throughout the year, and this goes into a large population model that helps inform our commercial quota, and it also helps us to inform what our sport bag limit and seasons ought to be. So we've done changes. We've adjusted the commercial quota through the years. We've adjusted our sport bag limits and our season structure throughout the last 40 or so years to kind of keep in line with the population as it is. And a lot of the success of the yellow perch year class strength is very dependent on the environmental factors. So a big part of the success that we see in having a good hatch of yellow perch happens when the water temperatures are warming up at a nice, slow, but steady level. Yellow perch tend to spawn at around 50 degrees. And so when you get like a nice, slow warm-up, then the things that these little larval yellow perch will eat, like zooplankton, will also hatch. And so then there'll be some food available for these little perch. If we get a spring like we had last April, where we had cold, and then boom, we had 2 days of 80-degree days up here in the middle of April, our perch spawned very suddenly, very quickly, but then our water temperatures went back down quite drastically, and we even had a snowstorm around, I think it was the 1st of May. So those conditions did not lend itself well for having a good hatch of yellow perch last spring. We're hoping maybe we'll see some nice gradual warm-ups and things will be different this spring.
Holy kitten, though, we haven't had that severe a weather, at least as we speak now. Does that forebode challenges for our yellow perch this year then again?
Well, it's too soon to tell. Kind of remains to be seen once we get closer to that 50-degree water mark, which typically happens around the middle of April. And so we still could have a very good year class of yellow perch. It's still a little too soon to tell.
So what am I ending up with then on my plate for that Friday night fish fry, Tammy? If we've only got a 100 million pounds limit and it's almost all coming out of Green Bay, what happens to those valuable yellow perch we're harvesting locally?
Yeah, so right now the total commercial quota is 100,000 pounds, not 100 million, so much smaller. And so we have, commercial fishermen that are able to harvest yellow perch and sell them in local markets, and they all stay local in Wisconsin. These fish aren't getting shipped off to other states or anything like that. They're all being sold in restaurants and in stores and markets around the, northeast Wisconsin area. So they're all staying local. There's plenty of fish, yellow perch, out there for both commercial and sport anglers to share. And these yellow perch grow quickly, and they don't live very long. So we definitely like to see folks out there utilizing these fish and putting them to good use and providing some opportunities for some safe protein for people to eat.
Fascinating conversation with Tammy Paoli. She's a DNR fish biologist in Marinette County, talking to me from her Peshtigo office. She said that you have to remember the one remaining commercial fishery that harvests yellow perch right there in Green Bay. She said most of that perch is going to be marketed in the Green Bay restaurants, Door County restaurants, maybe a little along the Fox Valley. Otherwise, like she said, the largest amount of yellow perch we're consuming in Wisconsin coming from Lake Erie. You want to hear more about yellow perch and the Friday night fish fry? Pop on over to MidwestFarmReport.com. I've got my full conversation with Tammy Paoli up on our podcast list. Next, checking in on the weather details we're going to have to muster through the weekend. Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, on the way.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
No matter what the season, let Nick and his professional team from Lakeside Property Services and Management take care of all your landscaping and yard care needs, from mowing to plowing and everything in between, including patio, walkway, and driveway lighting, yard beautification, and maintenance. Trust them to manage your summer homes with complete peace of mind. Just call Nick at 715-661-8114 at Lakeside Property Services in Park Falls, Wisconsin. Nick says landscaping should be the first thing you see and the last thing you worry about.
Do you ever get tired of one-sided conversations filled with mean-spirited rhetoric? It's time to listen and engage. Join the Rational Revolution with me, Chris Alfine, Saturday afternoons at 2 and Sunday afternoons at 1 on the Buzz of the North, WBZH, and the Civic Media app.
Finding the special health care resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special health care needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
After my wife died, I felt like I lost everything, including my love of fishing. But one day, my granddaughter called, and I realized I still had a lot to look forward to. I got referred to a psychiatrist who explained depression can happen to anyone. Getting help doesn't make me weak. It makes me stronger. I just wish it made me better at fishing.
Mental health care is working for Diego. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Gear up. I'm Maggie Dawn, and I'm back on the airwaves. Weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. starting next Monday. Tune in for fearless conversation and practical solutions. Don't miss it.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Allball. Friday, noon to 3, we have Brady Ewing on talking sports and also more live from Hayward at the Birkenbeiner right here on the Civic Media Ready Network.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Comes to springtime activities like maybe getting involved in the garden or maybe trying some backyard birding. But I'll tell you what, you don't want to go into any of those practices without a little mentoring, a little education. In the Madison area, they have got Urban Triage. It is a group that tries to help foster interest and growth in what's happening in communities and focused in on food security. One of the people that's behind the Urban Triage is their CEO, Brandy Grayson. And believe it or not, she says the interest in farming of what any shape or form you can find in urban areas is their number one requested program.
When we started our farm, people were like, poor people or people who are surviving poverty, they don't farm or they won't be interested in that program. And the honest to God truth is that we have a waiting list every summer for folks who desire to be in our program because it's magical. It has this ability of calming you, bringing peace to you. And I don't know, farming and agriculture is something that I never even thought that we would even get into or something I would enjoy. But it's something about putting your hand in the dirt, right? And digging the dirt up and then planting food and then watching it grow and then harvesting is pretty powerful. And I think our community members really enjoy it.
Brandy Grayson, she's the CEO of Urban Triage. That is a group in Dane County that tries to help people really think beyond the basket, beyond the grocery store cart, and get engaged in the process. And she says she thinks that's part of the intrigue and why people get drawn in.
I'm an 80s baby, but when I was growing up, my grandmother had a garden, right? Like when we were growing up, everybody grew something all the time. We could go outside and pick cucumbers off the fence, put a little salt and you rinse it off, you eat it, right? And I feel like folks in that age is like, I miss that. And when we launched our program, surprisingly, people were like, oh my God, I've been waiting on something like this. I always wanted to do farming. I always wanted to grow my own vegetables, but I didn't know where to go or people would charge me for it or it didn't make sense. So I think just having the resource and the opportunity is like, okay, I don't know if I will like it, but I'll give it a try. And then when folks are out there, they fall in love.
Yeah, don't we all? That is Brandy Grayson. She is the CEO of the Urban Triage. They've got about 2 acres that they're farming and growing vegetables on just outside of Madison in the Verona area. And she said again this year, they are looking at capacity interest in getting involved in that urban farming. And you got to remember, right now, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, they estimate 15% of the world's food is going to have to be grown
in urban areas. Kind of cool talking about that. Let's pivot now. Chat weather, because that's a critical part of how quick we're going to get to the gardens. Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, along with us for Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Well, I'll tell you what, you know, you get all excited about coming the seeds out of the packet, starting our little, you know, indoor plants and stuff like that. And then you get a day like today and tomorrow where you're jolted back to reality, eh?
It reminds you that it's all well and good to think about it and think about getting started, but Mother Nature controls the scene.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, and I know that people have been sending me pictures and emails telling me that, you know, the crocus or daffodils, something's coming up out of the ground way early, especially if it's right next to a building. You know, we'll see if they're going to survive. That's the other thing that we're a little worried about, Stu. Okay, so we're going to go back to normal temperatures now, then really spike next week. For people like our apple producers, if those trees start throwing buds, we could be looking at tragedy, you know?
It could be a horrible year because of that. I know with the tulips we've got here in the south that are probably 3-4 inches tall, talk is we'll cover them up tonight. Just throw a sheet over them. They'll be fine. Yeah, we can do that with flowers and things like that, but what about those apple trees and things that are going to start their spring movement, if you will? It's just kind of a fooling weather pattern. We do stay fairly mild, but today and tomorrow are going to be a lot closer to our normals. I mean, records yesterday, La Crosse setting a record high at 63 degrees. Milwaukee, at 60. Madison at 59. We had very, very mild air in store. Not that warm today. In fact, we could see temperatures that fall this afternoon. There's a cool front dropping into northwest Wisconsin this morning. It's going to march southeast through the state and is the reason I'll mention there could be a few stray snow showers, a period of some light snow. There's some development up in the UP this morning, and popping up for us could happen more so midday or in the afternoon. Could be heavy enough for just a short time to limit your visibility a bit. Could make a slippery spot in the road here or there. That should be about the extent that cool front drops through. Colder air sweeps in overnight, keeps those temperatures a lot more like normal for Saturday. And just that quick, we warm it back up. Sunday and Monday pushing back up into the 40s and 50s most likely. So very mild. The sunshine returns. That all sounds well and good. And I expect some rain chance. Most likely going to start building in toward Tuesday, could linger into midweek. A little moisture may be something to deal with as we look at the mid part of next week. And even then, with those daytime high temperatures, doing their best to be on the above normal side. I'll have our forecast details right after this.
At Compeer Financial, we're defined by you, your hopes for the future, as well as what you need today. As a local member-owned cooperative, you shape how we serve agriculture and rural communities. As a partner and part of your community, we're here for you with personalized service and expertise you can rely on. Contact your local Compeer Financial team at 844-426-6733 or visit compeer.com/you for your lending and other financial needs. Compeer Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2022, all rights reserved.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home, auto, business, and life insurance? They make it convenient to bundle your insurance while saving you time and money. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Well, we are really going to live through that adage, just wait a minute and it'll change when it comes to Wisconsin weather, aren't we, Stu?
Oh, we absolutely are. Today, tonight, into tomorrow, everything's going to change in a big hurry. I mean, I saw that big snow moon hanging out to the west here a while ago, nice and bright. And hopefully we can see some of that tomorrow as skies clear out when it's officially a full moon. Today, some morning sun, but the clouds develop. And by midday or into the afternoon, further north, the late afternoon in the south, snow showers. Could be a little heavy, but I don't expect much for accumulations. Temps in the upper 30s are around 40, even getting colder during the afternoon. Winds will become northeast this afternoon, 5 to 15. Any snow ends, skies start clearing out later in the night. in the mid-teens or a little cooler in the north. The northeast winds 5 to 15. And then back to sunny for Saturday. Kind of normal in the upper 30s. Winds become southwest 5 to 10. Mostly sunny Sunday, upper 40s. A few 50s to be reported then. Southwest winds 5 to 15 become northwest later Sunday. But those temps hold on, Pam, very mild with sunshine Monday. Maybe a little wet for Tuesday.
All right. We'll wait and see. Have a good weekend, buddy. Any big plans?
I want to get something done, but you know, I got out and got muddy yesterday. Maybe I should wait.
Yes. Yes. On behalf of the kitchen floor, wait. All right.
Okay.
See you next week. Thanks, Stu.
See ya.
Stu Mutker, ag meteorologist with our Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Compure Financial is your financial partner, committed to agriculture and rural America. Visit Compure.com. We're going to have our Compure Century Farm Salute this morning, telling you a story about a farm in Manitowoc County. Charity Seebecker is going to bring us that. And auctioneering, it's not just for the fellas. Stick around.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Since 1972, businesses, events, and individuals have counted on Advanced Printing to get the job done right. Whether it's small digital printing jobs with quick turnaround or large format printing in beautiful color, Advanced Printing has you covered. From business cards to banners, we offer you convenience, quality, and friendly customer service. Advanced Printing is a veteran-owned business located next to Don Johnson Motors on Highway 63 North in Hayward. Request a free quote online at advancedprintinghayward.com or give us a call at 715-634-6888.
The Todd Almost Show.
I'm Trigvi Olson. Steven from Green Bay. Go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Almost Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Almost Show.
You look at Taylor Swift. She fought off the bitterness of defeat when she lost her records, when she was kind of duped by a manager. People who told her she'd never amount to anything. But it doesn't matter if you like her music or not. I'm a fan of anyone. Doesn't matter whether they're an artist or an athlete or just a common Jane or Joe. If you've overcome something in your life, you're a winner. If you've made it through, that's what it's all about.
The Todd Almost Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. Biomarker testing was a turning point for me. By working with my oncologist, we were able to determine the most appropriate treatment plan. My fear was I wasn't going to be here to see my children grow up. That gave me hope, knowing that I have that chance, and I did. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The Alabama Supreme Court ruling that frozen human embryos are the legal equivalent of children, spurring action in that state.
Two bills are now being introduced in the Alabama State House, one that would protect in vitro fertilization and another that would put the court's ruling on hold. The list of clinics postponing treatment for IVF continues to grow.
ABC's Perry Russum, about half of the IVF clinics in Alabama have suspended the procedure. Intuitive Machines will talk more later today about its robot Odysseus spacecraft landing on the moon last night. It's the first time since Apollo 17 in 1972 that the U.S. has put anything on the moon. Not a cyber attack, no ransomware. AT&T says a software update gone wrong was the cause of Thursday's nationwide cell service outage. On the East Coast alone, more than 70,000 outages were reported. AT&T has since restored service nationwide. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The leader of the Forest County Potawatomi is calling on Wisconsin lawmakers and other state leaders to find bipartisan solutions to problems like human trafficking and affordable housing. James Crawford gave Thursday's annual State of the Tribe speech. He also thanked lawmakers for working to increase Medicaid reimbursements for tribes and legislation to boost affordable housing. Wisconsin farmers boosted conservation efforts between 2017 and 2022. That's according to the latest USDA agriculture census.
In so many ways, it is about access to programs within USDA or information, making sure that we can use all of those avenues to drive adoption in the way that we know there is demand for.
Mike Lavender's with the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Baseball gets started tomorrow. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Brewers' first exhibition game of spring training out in Arizona tomorrow against the Padres. The first pitch at 2:10 Central Time. There's been talk that Sal Frelick will play some third base this spring. When will that happen? Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
First day. He's special, man. The kid's special. He can do it. That people ask me, why is he doing it? Because he can. If anybody can do it, it's Sal.
NBA, the Bucks and the Timberwolves tonight in Minnesota. Milwaukee will be without Chris Middleton, still dealing with an ankle injury. NFL, Packers' Matt LaFleur introducing Jeff Hafley as the team's new defensive coordinator.
Certainly have always had respect for him from afar as a football coach. He's worked with my brother at two different stops. He's worked with Kyle Shanahan at two different stops in Cleveland and San Francisco. And I know how those guys, how much respect they have for him as a person first and a coach second.
That's Matt LaFleur with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Allball. Friday, noon to 3, we have Brady Ewing on talking sports and also more live from Hayward at the Birkenbeiner right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A few flurries or snow showers this morning, then gradually becoming mostly sunny, and it will be quite a bit colder today. Our high 27 with wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Clear tonight, low of 8 above. Tomorrow, sunny 39 by Sunday, sunshine 43. We're talking 50s by Monday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
Do you know or work with kids who have special health care needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/WISCWAY. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwaba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Jim from Racine, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jim.
I voted for Reagan back in the day. I guess I've been supporting more of the Democratic Party for the last 40 years or so, but people don't say, oh, man, she's a Republican, she's a Democrat, she's a whatever. I'm a human being. All these other things aren't important. We need to unite against a bigger threat. I think the threat is us becoming a dictatorship. They want us to fail.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Now. We tend not to think about now. We dream about tomorrow, relive yesterday. But right now in front of us is victory over cancer. Right now, cancer research funded by the V Foundation is leading to better treatments and saving lives. Victory over cancer is there for the taking by you, because today's cancer research is tomorrow's victory. Learn more at V.org.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. brought to you by the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Realization that lost somebody that was, you know, his whole life.
And now back to the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Tilling every inch of land in the state, except Lambeau Field. There's consecrated ground. Pam Yonke and the Farm Report.
Yeah, a little cooler today than what we've enjoyed the past couple of days. Partly cloudy skies this morning. 42 our expected high. We will notice the winds out of the north-northwest, about 13 to 20 miles an hour. Precipitation. Good chance a lot of us are going to see rain today. Maybe a few folks, a little snow here or there. Don't forget, we welcome your rainfall reports. Our Farm Talk text line is what you want to use to tell us what you're getting weather-wise. That's 877-301-FARM, 877-301-3276. 42 are expected high today. Tomorrow, a chilly 39, but sunny. Sunday, partly cloudy and 53, and by gosh, by golly, Monday and Tuesday, we're back up into the 60s. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. Tickled to have you along with us on this, the 23rd day of February. What can I tell you? All right, on this day back in 1455, the Gutenberg Bible is published. Yep, Gutenberg's Bible, the first book ever printed in movable type, occurred on this day back in 1455. On this day in 1954, the first mass inoculation against polio started. Jonas Salk, as well as another virologist, Hilary Kropotsky, they brought to the marketplace inoculation against polio. In fact, the Salk vaccine is still one of two versions we're using today. All started on this day back in 1954. And on this day in 1940, Walt Disney's animated movie Pinocchio is released. And now you know. Well, it's a springtime activity for a lot of us farm kids. Auctions. It gave you a chance to get together with friends and neighbors and maybe get a deal. Today, a lot of auctions are occurring online. In fact, the auctioneering business as a whole has seen quite a bit of change. Stephanie Hoff tells us more.
How many dollars here would get 25? Who wants to be 25? 25 would get $50. 50 bid, 50 there would get 75. 100 there would give 100 now quarter.
That chant belongs to Jenny Gale, a proud member of the Wisconsin Auctioneers Association. She works for Bravo Benefit Auctions in North Prairie. To me, that sound is nostalgic because I grew up going to farm auctions. I asked her what it takes to be the voice on the auction block, thinking all you had to do was master the rhythm. But Jenny says there's much more to auctioneering than the voice work. For her, it started with auctioneering school.
There are a lot of options, a lot of great auctioneer schools across the U.S., but where I did go to was Worldwide College of Auctioneering, and it was in Iowa. It's a 9-day class, and it's very ambitious and fun to learn about the auction chant and the auctioneer industry. And along the way, you make a lot of friends.
Can you walk me through some of the specifics that you pick up in auctioneer school?
You know, going to auctioneer school was a way to just really connect with other people. It was up early. It was late. You know, you were up late practicing that chant and everything about the auction industry. But, you know, when you talk about that chant, there's so much more than just the chant and practicing doing the chant. It goes beyond that. You have to have product knowledge. There's so many asset classes that you can get into as an auctioneer, right? There's livestock auctioneers, there's automobile auctioneers, personal property, real estate, charity auctioneers, fundraising. You know, you have to know about the assets that you're going to sell. Public speaking, you know, get some practice in the public speaking space because it's important. You're going to have that microphone right on that stage or on that auction block, and you really have to know how to communicate.
Stage presence, right? Because you've got to be engaging to the audience. Everyone likes, you know, when there's some humor involved. And then you've got to be encouraging people bid, right?
Yeah. And then when you talk about the auctioneer's chant, there's a lot of things that you have to be aware of and or practice. And that's your number scale. It's a lot of rhythm. And how you practice that rhythm, you can do some tongue twisters. So that's something we did at auction school. Here's an example. Tommy Atatimus took two tees, time to the top of two tall trees. Tommy Atatimus took two tees, time to the top of two tall trees. And then we have a really fun one that's called Betty Botter. Kind of goes something like this. Betty Botter bought some butter, but she said, this butter's bitter. If I put it in my batter, it'll make my batter bitter. So she bought a bit of better butter, put it in her bitter batter, made a bitter batter better. So does Betty Botter bought a bit of better butter. Right? There you go. And one thing with your rhythm, when you have someone that's, you're going to be behind that microphone all day for that auction, you really want to have that rhythm and be interesting to listen to, right? That you can be an easy to listen to for the people in the audience. Other things that we focus on for that chant is the speed, filler words, would you give, bid it at, voice control. And if you can combine all of that, your rhythm, your speed, and your voice control, your filler words, then it kind of sounds, you know, $10, I have 10, now 15, would it give 15, 10, 10, 15, would it give 15, 15, 15, 20. And every auctioneer has different filler words. And you just got to use that filler word that's going to really go with your voice control. That's going to flow off of your tongue. So for every person, every auctioneer, it's different. That's why you never want to imitate another auctioneer. You want to make it your style.
Jenny Gale along with us. She's with Bravo Benefit Auctions out of North Prairie and a proud member of the Wisconsin Auctioneers Association, walking us through what it takes to be the voice at the auction block. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Anybody else? 200-2-2-2. Last call. 200-2-2. Sold it your way. $175.
Gotta love an auction. In fact, the Wisconsin Auctioneers Association just wrapped up their annual state convention. They were up in Mauston this year with a wonderful turnout. Thanks, Stephanie, for that. Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning are actually holding firm, which is a nice thing to deliver on a Friday. December corn's up 3 right now at 4.56. November soybeans are up 6 at 11.40. July wheat currently 6 cents stronger at 5.85 a bushel. Barrel cheese yesterday was up a quarter of a cent at 1.61. 40-pound block cheese, that dropped a penny and a half down to $1.50, while AA butter gained 3¾ cents to 2.81¼ per pound. March fluid milk for class 3 up 7 cents right now at 17.20. April class 3 milk is up 16 cents at 17.82 a hundredweight. You know, it's a busy time around a lot of our Wisconsin farms. It's time for the babies. We've got lambs, we've got kids, we've got piglets, we got everything coming our way. But I'll tell you what, for farm families that have their livestock outdoors, bringing those babies into the world can get a little dicey. There's a lot of predators out there. Charity Seebecker's got an update on one particular we're keeping an eye on, wolves.
Well, Pam, in Wisconsin, there are about 150 complaints of wolf attacks annually, with even more that are going unreported. And David Rood, wildlife biologist at USDA Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, gives us an update on where the wolves are exactly in Wisconsin and what's being done to help.
Presently, wolves are listed as federally endangered in Wisconsin. And the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service just released a press release that stated they're beginning to work on a national recovery plan for gray wolves, and they hope to have that plan completed in December of 2025.
Can you give us an overview of wolves in Wisconsin so we have an idea of just how prevalent and present they are?
The Wisconsin DNR puts a tremendous amount of effort into monitoring the gray wolf population in the state. And right now, the estimate's between 1,000 and 1,200 animals in the central forest region, the northern forest region, and there are some wolves in different areas of the state, but predominantly they're in central forest, northern forest, in approximately 280, 290 packs.
Can you give us maybe a brief overview of just how many verified depredations you guys see or trends that you're seeing?
On average, we're investigating around 120 to 150 complaints a year, and those aren't all for livestock. That includes hunting dogs and possibly threats to human safety, etc. And right now, about 70 to 80% of those conflicts are either classified as confirmed or probable. And as far as livestock depredation goes, you know, in the last 7 to 8 years, it seemed to have stabilized between 25 to 35 farms per year that are sustaining verified wolf depredations, somewhere in the neighborhood of 35 to 45 cattle being killed by wolves annually. And the majority of the wolf depredations occur in the northern third of the state and then in the central forest region of the state.
That was David Rood, wildlife biologist at USDA Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service. He added that if you're concerned about wolf delisting and the direction things are going, to contact your federal elected officials. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Thanks, Charity. And of course, our Wisconsin farms are doing what they can to protect their livestock. If they know they're going to give birth, they try to bring them indoors. They've got electrified fences to try to protect the animals. And they are also using things like guard dogs, guard llamas, guard donkeys to try to at least send an alert if a wolf is in the area. Coming up next, a special feature we love to have on Fridays, focusing in on the century and sesquicentennial farms in place across the state of Wisconsin. Our next conversation takes us to Manitowoc County. Stick around.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
You can live out your MasterChef dreams when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Today, young adults face big questions about their future. How will you make your mark? Do you want to be part of something bigger than yourself? Are you ready to learn new skills and make new friendships? Perhaps you have a dream that you're ready to make real. So, how will you make a mark with your future? As you embark on a journey toward finding these answers, the military can serve as a resource for providing help, information, and opportunities. A public service message from the Department of Defense. To learn more, visit todaysmilitary.com.
It's 2024. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you live across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Jane Matt Nair.
And I'm Greg Bach.
Join us Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon as we break down the news and share some laughs along the way.
We're talking to politicians, we're talking to community leaders, and we're talking to anyone who has a story.
And we occasionally get a visit from an umbrella cockatoo. Join us for Matt Nair on Air Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Allball. Friday, noon to 3, we have Brady Ewing on talking sports and also more live from Hayward at the Birkenbeiner right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You can call it, you can text us, and let us know what kind of rainfall you pick up today. 42 is our expected high today. Clouds will probably give way by this afternoon, but chance of rain right around 70%. Kind of depends where you're going to be as far as rain versus some light snow. Tomorrow, sunshine and 39. Sunday, we're back to sunshine and 53 degrees into the 60s the front part of next week. As we wrap it up on a Friday morning, we want to salute another one of our farm families across the state that have managed to keep their farm or home together in the same family for 100 or 150 years. I also want to remind you, March 1st is the deadline if you want your farm or home to be recognized for those milestones at this year's Wisconsin State Fair. We've got applications that you can download for either the Century or Sesquicentennial Farm Recognition on our website, MidwestFarmReport.com. Charity Seebecker joins us this morning with another salute.
One of the farms getting recognized is the farm of Tom and Deborah Umness and Tim and Ann Bartell. I talked with Deborah and Tim about their family's farm heritage and the memories that they made on the farm.
Our farm was acquired in 1909 by our grandfather. He was actually working in a furniture factory in Sheboygan, had four kids at the time, and wanted to, times were getting a little tough in the furniture industry, and he wanted to have a place. He was from Germany. He grew up on a farm. He wanted to have a place where he could make sure and raise a family. So he bought the farm in 1909, had seven more kids, so by the time the family was complete, there were 11 people on the farm. The farm was an abandoned farm in the St. Asians area in Manitowoc County, so they had to do a lot of work, had a lot of rocks, a lot of stumps to make it into a full-fledged farm. An interesting story is that in 1919, my grandpa blew out an eye clearing stumps on the farm, so as he got older, he was known as One-Eyed Bartell. In the 1940s, our father bought the farm. He was number 10 of 11. He bought the farm from our grandpa, and then he farmed it successfully for many years. He got married shortly after he bought the farm. There were seven of us. So we were all grew up as farm kids, dairy farm until about the mid-70s, and then we changed it. My dad changed it into a cash crop farm where we grew certified seed for other farmers. And then, that trend, that we still do that today, except we now rent the land. But it's been 113 years since it's been purchased in the family.
So what buildings were on it originally, the size, the acreage? Kind of give me through some of that so we can kind of get a picture of where it was, and then a little bit later we can talk about where it is today.
So when Grandpa bought the farm, I believe there was a farmhouse, a small old barn, and a granary. Maybe a chicken coop, maybe not. As buildings were getting dilapidated or worn out, the biggest accomplishment our grandfather had was he built a state-of-the-art, very large new barn. So our barn is exactly 100 years old. The barn is still there in good shape. The original granary is still there in fairly good shape. We've added a few sheds. Anything else, Tim?
Yeah, I'd say the house that was there was torn down and rebuilt in 1927. The granary, which was there when the farm was built, we were always told was built in the 1860s from the previous farm. So that building would be going on 160 years old and is still really, really in great shape. It was originally an 80-acre farm that was purchased in 1909. In 1920, my grandpa bought an additional 40 acres to the west. And then in the 1960s, we bought a related family farm across the street. So we were about 190 acres in total.
What were those first years like? Maybe some of the stories that were passed down of the wars, Great Depression, any fires, any key things in time or history that happened that affected the farm or your family?
As my brother alluded, the farm was bought in the wintertime and it was snow covered. So I think our grandpa really didn't know what he was buying. And when he found out it was full of rock and trees, it was disappointing. So he spent a lot of labor clearing out the land. I think they wanted to plant potatoes or something at one time as a crop, but it was more, he got some animals, and then it was probably just the routine farm crops that were planted. The big story, and Tim mentioned it a little bit, was when our grandpa was clearing the land, and a stick of dynamite didn't go off as he intended. He walked up to the stick of dynamite, and it blew up right as he was coming close to the dynamite, and he nearly died. His eye was a lasting disability for him, so he basically ran the farm with one eye after that.
Amazingly, he lived to be 96 years old, and that happened when he was about 49.
So what improvements have been made, some changes to the farm, whether that's in the way you guys have ran it as it's been passed down, any key things that have helped get it to where it is today?
Certainly, when the farm morphed over the years, there are a lot of stumps, rocks, fences. Over time, and even as my dad took over, we removed a lot of the barriers within the farm, so made the fields much more farmable for modern farming now. That was certainly a big improvement. Certainly rebuilding a lot of the buildings that were originally there. I mean, the 100-year-old barn today was built out of plans that came from the University of Wisconsin. So it is anybody who walks through it is amazed at the skill that was built in the barn.
Deborah Umnis and Tim Bartel share the story of their family farm in Manitowoc County. You can listen to more of these farm stories as well as get the application for this year's Century and Sesquicentennial Awards at MidwestFarmReport.com. These stories are brought to you courtesy of Compere Financial. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
U.S. farmers shipped a whole lot of pork out of the country last year. That's ahead on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for Rizol from ProGrow Bio. Spring is just around the corner, and there's still time to upgrade to the latest technology from Ag Leader. From SureForce Downforce Control and SureSpeed High Accuracy Planting Systems to RightSpot Individual Nozzle Control for your sprayer, Ag Leader has you covered. Upgrade now and reap the benefits this season. Contact your local Ag Leader dealer or visit agleader.com. Foreign buyers and consumers apparently like U.S. pork a lot. The industry had a milestone year in 2023, according to Dan Hallstrom, president and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation.
Just a fantastic finish to the year for pork exports globally. We're at a new value record of almost $8.2 billion in sales globally on U.S. pork. Of course, Mexico's been leading it all year long, but really the rest of Latin America has stepped up as well. Latin America really was the story in 2023.
Hallstrom says customers in the Caribbean, Korea, and China really came through for U.S. pork last year. Foreign markets offer some benefits over and above the domestic market for pork, as some buyers make use of everything but the oink. Hallstrom says that helps drive overall value for pork exports.
So if you look at the total situation on these exports, the key is maximizing the carcass mix and the value of the whole carcass. So we came in December with a very high number of over $70 per head payback for exports of pork. And that brought the annual record up to almost $64 a head for the year, which is an all-time record.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Allball. Friday, noon to 3, we have Brady Ewing on talking sports and also more live from Hayward at the Birkenbeiner right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripescast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Earl Ingram.
My special guest is the curator and founder of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society, none other than Claiborne Benson.
I want people to know that Wisconsin has a beautiful, rich African-American history. Many people think that King's celebration and all of those other kinds of things are more important. They occurred in Wisconsin as well. And we've impacted the entire nation.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy where...
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.